The tensions between the DUP and Sinn Féin aren't easing by the look of things. Sinn Féin leader Michelle O'Neill is today claiming that the DUP has given up on power sharing in favour of Tory direct rule. Do you agree with Sinn Féin on that? Do you think have they got a point?
I think there's a lot of politicking going on between the DUP and Sinn Féin. I think the two of them need to get themselves sorted out, because we're in a situation now where we should have an assembly up and running. We should have a Northern Ireland executive.
Yes.
And
but you're involved in the talks, which is why I'm asking you. From your insight, you'll know more from this than we do. So do you think, is there any kind of basis for what they've said?
Vinny, you know that the talks process is confidential, and I can't say what was going on inside.
And I'm not giving you, I'm not asking for particular details about what's going on, but you can get a sense from what's happening if we're going in the right direction, the direction of travel.
Vinny,
that your politicians love to use that phrase. But
here's one of the concerns I had. If somebody asked me on the door the other day when I was out canvassing in the evening for Danny, and they asked me what I thought was the likelihood of the restoration of the Assembly. And I said I thought it was probably about 50-50, because before the general election was called, there was a marked change in attitude between Sinn Féin and DUP. They were no longer point scoring off each other. They seemed to be getting into a constructive position.
And are they still there?
I was on another radio show on Friday afternoon, and I was listening to what John O'Dowd was saying, and my heart sank, because I thought at that stage we were probably going to come back on the 9th of June and be able to have conversations, and we were going to be able to get the Assembly restored. Now, I'm not so sure. I think Sinn Féin, and I understand there's issues with DUP as well, but I think Sinn Féin's view is now focused very clearly on Dublin. They're looking at what's likely to happen with Leo Varadkar.
So you think that Sinn Féin, to an extent, have given up on these talks?
I think Sinn Féin are probably thinking about the next election that they're going to be fighting, and that election's going to be in the Irish Republic. I am genuinely worried about the restoration of the Assembly and the reforming of the Northern Ireland Executive. I would like Sinn Féin to stop basically posturing and make it clear that they are going to engage in these conversations.
You
seriously
mentioned it was 50-50 not that long ago, in your opinion.
Yeah.
Where would you put that now?
I'd hate to say, Vinny. I really would. I had a large degree of confidence, but I'm not so sure at the moment. I would like Sinn Féin and the DUP to engage seriously as soon as we get going again on the 9th of June. Because I think for everybody in Northern Ireland, I mean, out canvassing, everybody in Northern Ireland's talking about the issues to do with education, with health, with jobs. But there's a genuine, why can't we get on with it and get these things sorted out? And that's what people are asking us. And quite frankly, until last week, I thought we'd had, about a 50-50 chance of doing it. I'm worried. And I think everybody in Northern Ireland should be rightly worried. And if somebody from the Sinn Féin or DUP knocks your door, ask them very clearly, what are you going to do about restoring the Assembly? And
where would you put it, though? 20-80? 30-70?
30. I don't know.
You're not optimistic.
I would like, of all the things this weekend, bearing in mind the sort of the horrors that we've had in London, the awful news about Paddy Johnson, his demise of Paddy Johnson, and you're thinking we need a piece of good news. I would have hoped for much better. But okay. We need to go out, and when your Sinn Féin or DUP person knocks at the door, ask them, what are you going to do about restoring the Assembly and getting the Northern Ireland Executive up and running again?
OK, let's move on to a different topic. Is the UUP still pushing for a trebling of the infrastructure spending in Northern Ireland? That's one of the big ideas in your party's Brexit documents.
I'd be delighted if we could. And the first question is, where are we going to get the money?
Yes, it is.
And the answer I would like to be able to say is from the £350 million a week that we're supposedly not giving to Brussels anymore, that we could have part of that back in part of a national infrastructure fund. And we know there's been discussions in London about improving the national infrastructure fund and looking at major strategic projects.
Okay.
So we would like to be able to do those as well. But we talk about major infrastructure projects.
Let's just stay on the capital spending and that budget in particular. What is it currently at the minute? So what we're talking about for Northern Ireland, the annual spend?
Annual spend overall is 10.5 billion.
What's the capital spend?
The capital spend on infrastructure?
Yes.
The capital spend is just over, is about 1 billion.
So we need an extra 2 then to treble that to 3.
We're going, over a period of between 5 and 10 years, we probably will.
Yeah. But that's per year. So that's 2 billion extra a year to make that 3 billion per year.
Over the period of time between 5 and 10 years, yes.
So over the
Vinny, let's look at it.
From 5 years in, that's 10 billion you need.
Yeah, look at the other way, Vinny. Look at the major infrastructure projects that we need in Northern Ireland. We need the York Street interchange. We need the A5 and A6 completed. We need a dual carriageway road.
I understand, and I'm not questioning the need for more spending on roads. What I am asking is the money and where that is coming from. Your party also wants to try and fill the gaps left by the withdrawal from EU money. So things like farming, universities, that kind of stuff. So there's already a huge want for this money that you're talking about that will be then pumped back into Northern Ireland.
So there is a huge want for the money, as you quite rightly say.
But is it feasible then? To treble that.
But the question is, we need to put it this way. Look at it the other way. Our infrastructure needs to be trebled.
I understand that there might be a need for it.
You got it. We do need to.
It doesn't mean that
there's
a magic money tree that you can just pull this out of. I'm not questioning whether we do or do not need more money for infrastructure in Northern Ireland. Let's assume that we do and that we need 3 billion a year. My question is where you're pulling that extra 2 billion from.
But a lot of that money is going to have to come from national infrastructure funding. Because we are going to have to be able to tap into that 350-odd million pound a week that was supposedly going to Brussels. Of that, from a National Infrastructure Fund, we need to... Are we going to get it all? Probably not. Can we get a chunk of it that we need to?
Enough?
Yes, we do. I hope we will, because if we... Northern Ireland's going to be able...
Come on, Steve. Trebling is not really feasible. Like, we're not talking about a couple of million here. We're talking about 2 billion a year. It's a lot of money.
We need to invest in our infrastructure. Our infrastructure is very
badly behind. I understand that,
Stephen,
but that's not the point. It's like me saying that I want to do this, that or the other. If I don't have the means to do it, it doesn't matter that I want to do it. The question is that money. And with the withdrawal from, with Brexit coming up, there will be...
Shouldn't we be in there fighting
money for farmers?
Shouldn't we have an executive backup going to London?
Yes, I guess my point really comes back to, is this just a fantasy? Well, let's treble it. Is it just electioneering?
How much does our infrastructure need to be improved by?
That is not the point.
No, it is not. We need to build a Northern Ireland that's
fit for purpose. We also need to
reduce
our waiting lists, etc. And if we were able to pull out 2 billion to pump into that, wouldn't that be great? But just saying it doesn't mean that it's a fact or that it is something that is possible.
Finny,
which is why the question is, where does that money come from?
Let's look at the long term. Let's look at how we want Northern Ireland to be in 2050. We're going to be looking at a country which has a population of around about 2 million. We need to have the roads, we need to have the water, we need to have the broadband,
yes.
We need to have the air links, we need to have the education system.
Yes, but how are you going to pay for it?
We need to start building our economy to get Northern Ireland in a position where we're being
able
to raise...
To an extent, Steve, are you admitting now that trebling of the capital spending is a pipe dream? That's not really going to happen, it's not possible. Regardless of the fact that it needs to be done, in your opinion.
Well, do you not think it needs to be done?
But that doesn't matter.
Can you think of the people who are stuck at the moment down at York Street trying to get through? They don't think we need to be spending money on infrastructure. Do you not think
but
our
the point
companies...
is not that we need to... It's the fact that... Is it realistic to actually do it? Is the money
Is it realistic for us
to... put helipads on everyone's house and give them all helicopters and then they could use that as their mode of transport. Maybe some people would say that's feasible.
Vinny,
that is a good idea. But my point is why I'm being so flippant about it.
Yeah, don't
but is the fact
about
no?
It.
But the fact is, we can say we want these things, but if we don't have the money, the cash to back it up, then it is just totally
because
pointless.
We need to set the conditions where we can either raise the money or go to London and be able to negotiate
it?
The money. We need to be able to do that. We need to grow our economy. We need to be able
but
to
But how would you
Northern
raise the
Ireland.
Money? Are you talking about raising taxes? Are you talking about borrowing the money? Water charges?
Vinny, we need to be able to grow the money for our infrastructure. We need to be able to go. We need to be able to negotiate for better settlements. We need to be able to understand. But above all, we need a Northern Ireland executive and an assembly who can go out and fight for the corner. I don't think there's
You might not be in the executive. Let's not forget that.
I don't think there's anybody in Northern Ireland today doesn't believe we shouldn't be spending more money on infrastructure.
Exactly, that's my point. But the point is, where is it coming from? Where are you getting this cash?
Vinny, we need to be going out and negotiating and trying to get the extra money. 320 million or 350 million a week that was coming in,
mm-hmm.
that was the money that was supposedly going to Europe. The proportion of that from Northern Ireland needs to go to be improving our infrastructure.
What is it in terms of, I'm not sure, we need to check this behind the scenes, in terms of the percentage of the population of Northern Ireland compared to the rest of the UK. Just to try and work out what percentage of that we would get.
Do you think it would be purely on percentage terms, Vinny?
Possibly.
Major infrastructure projects don't go in that way. We need to be able to negotiate our position. We need to be able to say, as Northern Ireland, very clearly, because we, of our situation being the only place that's a land border
special
with the
case.
EU. Not a special case, Vinny. Not a special case.
So we go with a begging bowl here as Northern Ireland again, saying, please, sir.
Why?
Want to spend more money on roads and we can't afford it.
Why do you call it a begging bowl?
What do you call it?
Do the people of Scotland call it a begging bowl? Do the people of Manchester call it a begging bowl? Do the people in the northeast of England call it a begging bowl?
Those three places you just mentioned, Scotland, England, Wales, I think if people are there will say, well, you know what, spend more in Northern Ireland, spend even more than you have now. It might be that there's only 1.6, 1.7 million people live there. There's more that live in my borough, in my city in England. But you spend it on them, that's fine, I don't mind.
So what about the people of Cornwall then, people of Devon? Do you not count them?
What do you mean?
Are they not entitled to infrastructure? Are they not entitled to improvements?
But that's my point.
Why do you think that we'll be in a situation where we're going to be discriminated against? We can make a very good case for Northern Ireland if we have a Northern Ireland Assembly back up and running and a Northern Ireland Executive pushing for us.
So it's fair to say that there isn't really a concrete plan of where we would get that $2 billion from a year.
We are going to get... We need a Northern Ireland Assembly back up and running.
Yes.
We need a Northern Ireland Executive. And we need to be fighting hard for the money we need from Northern Ireland. We need a proportion of that infrastructure money that was supposedly going to Europe to come back to Northern Ireland to help grow Northern Ireland's economy.
Well, let's turn back to that other big issue. And that is, of course, whether there's going to be a Stormont Executive or direct rule. And there are, of course, a number of sticking points on that. Where do you see them?
Sorry, could you say that again, Manny?
Sorry, we've been mentioning already this morning about the big issue of Stormont, the executive, whether we will have an executive or whether we'll go back to direct rule. So the sticking points to get us there, where do you see those?
I think the major sticking point is to get the Assembly back up and running. We need the DUP and Sinn Féin to agree. We need to get a Northern Ireland Executive working.
Okay, well, what are the sticking points that is in the way of getting us over the line for that?
The real issue, we're talking about
same-sex marriage and things like that.
No,
Irish Language Act.
I don't think we are talking about same-sex marriage. I don't think we are talking about Irish Language Act. I think we're talking.
Sinn Féin made that a core demand.
Vinny, it's not. It's about whether Sinn Féin and DUP can trust each other. That's what it's about. Can they get a working relationship to go forward?
So is that what's happening in these talks?
I think that's where we were getting to, but I don't think we did get there. And I'm not so sure, as we said earlier on, that the sort of the progress we've made has been continued. I would like to see us going back in on the 9th of June, and I would really, really like us to get to a situation where we were back just before where the general election was talked to, and we can get on with the serious discussions.
Okay,
but
well,
I have concerns about that.
Okay, some people would say that the sticking points are things like same-sex marriage, the Irish language, and Arlene Foster, and whether she should step aside as First Minister while there is an RHI inquiry. So let's step through some of those with you. The UUP, where do they stand on same-sex marriage?
Well, it's a matter of conscience with the Ulster Unionist Party.
So you don't know, you vote for the UUP, you're not quite sure.
No, it's a matter of
stand.
No, it's a matter of conscience, and sort of individual candidates have their individual views on it. You know my views, Vinny. Vinny, you know my views and very clear about it.
My point is the voter that votes for the UUP, they might not get a candidate that agrees with their opinion. So they can't say, it's a bit of a lucky dip, they can't say, well, I'll vote for the UUP because I know their stance on same-sex marriage. It's important to me.
The Ulster Unionist Party takes a very clear view on it. It's a matter of conscience.
And that's a clear view.
It is.
It's a lucky dip. It could be anything.
Vinny, how can you say somebody whose matter of conscience is a lucky dip? Is that not a bit insulting?
No, it's not, because the issue is, the point is that when people vote for your party, it depends on who they get. There's no party, there's no party position that goes across all the MLAs and all the MPs within the party. It just depends on who you get.
It is a matter of conscience. What is wrong with having a matter of conscience?
let's talk about then...
No, sorry, come back to me again. Yes. What is wrong with individuals having a matter of conscience in
my
this
issue? My issue, once again, is what I've asked you, Steve, is if people want to vote for UUP, they might want to know what the party stance is on things like same-sex marriage. They may be for it, they may be against it, and they may feel very passionately. But the way it is, because it is a matter of conscience, they don't know what they will get. The person that's representing them might have a different view than they do.
Well, ask them. Ask the candidate what their view is. It's a matter of conscience in the party. What is wrong with that?
Let's talk about the petition of concern that's connected to that. Well, would the UUP block a change in the law? Would the MLA sign a petition of concern and stop the law being brought in to allow gay marriage?
Well, let's the first thing to talk about position of concern. We're looking for a reform in the position of concern that is specifically linked to legislation and legislation only. We don't want to see the petition of concern being used to block matters of censures for ministers who have gone off stream or anything to do with sort of getting votes of no confidence in speakers.
Okay, well, what about votes on same-sex marriage? Would it be used there? Would you agree with it being used for something like this?
No, the petition of concern is something that we haven't discussed in the party yet
so
about
how
we'd go to. Pardon?
You don't know.
Don't know what?
Well, you don't know how your party would they use a petition concern or not. Would they sign up to that to block same-sex marriage being brought in here?
No, our position on the petition concern is very clear. We want to see it only on an issue of legislation and if an issue of legislation was brought forward. It's an issue for our party of individual conscience. We will decide which way we will do it. We haven't discussed it yet.
Okay, so for same-sex marriage, you can't tell me if that is something that there might be a petition of concern.
Finny, we haven't even got an assembly up and running yet.
Yeah, but the question
we
is
haven't
quite
even
simple,
it has it hasn't
if
even
it gets
come
to
up
that
yet.
Point and there is a petition of concern, would your party?
Well, my case is very MLAs. Clear. No, I'm not going to sign a petition of concern.
Okay.
I will vote for
your
the
colleagues
legislation.
Then, your colleagues, is there a party policy on it? Would they sign it?
We haven't discussed it yet. We will get to
it. Do you not think it's an important issue to some people? They might want to know, we're talking about same-sex marriage here and the petition of concern, but where the party would stand. So they know, once again, when they go into that little box and they choose their candidate, they might know what would happen within the party if we were doing this same-sex marriage, talking about it, if there was a petition of concern. You can't give me an answer.
It's a matter of conscience for the party. We haven't discussed it in the assembly group yet.
Okay. Irish language. Do you as a party support a standalone Irish Language Act?
No, we don't. We don't see a point for a standalone Irish Language Act. And indeed, bearing in mind we have got, and let me get this right, the Flags, Identity, Culture and Traditions Commission that was set up by Martin McGuinness, still sitting, and they're looking at all these issues. Why don't we wait until they say what they say?
Well, if there was a deal to get the executive back up and running that had to have an Irish Language Act, would you then oppose that deal?
We do not support an Irish Language Act. Why do we need an Irish Language Act?
So if it was getting the executive over the line, if it was something that they said, look, we have to have this, would you oppose that because of it?
Why do we need to have an Irish Languages Act? The Irish... Finny, hold on a sec.
No, but it's a yes or no answer, Stephen.
No, it's not a yes or no answer.
Once again, can't give me an answer.
Finny.
Put yourself, say that this is a...
Sorry, excuse me.
It's hypothetical. Let's say this is a deal breaker and this is what's on the table.
Let's put it this way. The Irish Language Act as being proposed by Sinn Féin, which includes a commissioner who has the rights of a judge and a form of cultural police who will be going around dealing with people who are not...
And let's not just talk about Sinn Féin, the SDLP and Alliance. Just to keep things accurate, they are also in favour as well.
No, there's more to this, Finny.
Yes, keep going.
The other issue was the fact that 10% of all employees in public bodies would have to be fluent Irish language speakers. That means 10% of everybody would be employed in the BBC, 10% in the PSNI, 10% in the civil service.
You said a moment ago, why do we need an Irish Language Act? So to an extent, because there isn't one there, there's not one that's been that you can vote on at the moment, so you're almost against it even in theory.
No, but this is what Sinn Féin have been proposing. This is what Sinn Féin have saying, this is what we want to see in the Irish Language Act. We cannot support that. Why would we support that?
So the UUP says no to an Irish Language Act or no to an Irish Language Act as proposed by Sinn Féin.
But the only Irish Language Act that's being proposed by Sinn Féin is this version of it. We cannot, and I don't think anybody in their right mind would support a commissioner.
But you're saying no to any Irish Language Act, Steve.
We're not saying no. We support the Irish language. We support all languages.
So you would support an Irish Language Act?
We don't need an Irish Language Act.
So you don't need one.
Act.
So one minute you say, well, what's in it? What Sinn Féin have put in it? We don't like that. It's not necessary. And then you say, in the same breath, we don't need one.
Why don't we have a Languages Act? Why don't we have a combined
okay,
act with the Irish
the question.
Language
Do
Act? And
you,
no, hold on.
No, are you against an Irish Language Act in any form?
Why don't we have a Languages Act? Why don't we have an Irish Language and Ulster Scots Act, which is about recognising these cultures and mutual recognition? Would that be acceptable?
Are you against an Irish Language Act in any form?
Finny, I've just explained to you.
I just want a yes or no answer, please.
You have not been listening to me. I've said, have a Languages Act that supports that supports Ulster Scots and the Irish language,
okay,
and doesn't have a commissioner with judge levels of scrutiny, and also does not have the ability to go around and demand 10% of the population be fluent speakers in one particular way in public bodies, let's see it.
Crystal clear. Okay, let's move on just because we're running out of time this morning. Should Arlene Foster step aside as First Minister while that RHI inquiry is running? What is your party position on that?
Let's see what's going to go. Our view is that very definitely it's an issue to do with the DUP, who indeed is the leader of the DUP, and it's a question that needs to be resolved going forward.
But should she step aside while the inquiry is continuing?
It's up to Arlene Foster to decide whether she steps aside or not.
Well, she, of course, says that she's not going anywhere. Are you happy with that? Are the UUP happy with that?
Let's look at the situation we're in at the moment. If Arlene Foster had stepped aside over the Christmas period, we would be in a situation right now where the Assembly would still be up and running in the Northern Ireland.
Do you think she should have stepped aside?
She should have stepped aside then.
And what about now? Are you, your party, are you demanding that she does step aside?
We're not demanding anything.
So it was important beforehand, but not now.
Vinnie, the most single important thing is to get the Assembly back up and running and get the Northern Ireland Executive up and running.
I'm glad you pointed that out because you haven't mentioned that so far.
It is up to the DUP and Sinn Féin to sort this out. They need to sort this out.
So should she step aside, yes or no?
Vinnie, the most important thing on the 8th of June is people to go out and
vote. I can see now why
Stephen
Nolan is so angry, because he just don't give a straight answer. Should Arlene Foster step aside as First Minister while the RHI inquiry is running, as Sinn Féin are demanding?
Vinnie, the most important thing is that we get a Northern Ireland... Vinnie, we need to get a Northern Ireland Assembly up and running.
You've said that.
We need a Northern Ireland Executive up and running. And we need to do what we need to do.
So we don't know. Once again, you've no views on the matter. The UUP, who knows? Do they want Arlene Foster to step aside? Do you think that she should as First Minister while this inquiry is running? No idea. You can't say yes or no.
Vinnie, yet again, we need to get the Northern Ireland Assembly up and running, and we need to get the Northern Ireland Executive there. That is what we need to do. It is up to the DUP and Sinn Féin to get that going. That's where
Steve,
we need to be. But the most important
one more time before we hit the news at 10 o'clock. Does the UUP believe that Arlene Foster should step aside as First Minister while the RHI inquiry is running? Yes or no?
Do you know what we need, Finny?
Do tell me.
We need to see as many Unionist and Ulster Unionist MPs returned on the 8th of June. Go out and vote for the Ulster Unionist Party.
Steve Aiken, thank you very much for joining me this morning. You can find a full list of candidates standing here on the Northern Ireland Electoral Office website. It is eoni.org.uk.